Thank you, praise team. Thank you, Pathfinders, huh? Is that good today? This afternoon, they're doing the adventures upstairs. Just, we're proud, 25, 30 in each group, and just terrific. We're going to give you a chance afterwards. We're going to ask all of you to stay seated at the end of church and let the Pathfinders process out. And then they're going to line up outside, and you're going to come out and shake my hand quickly, and then you're going to high-five every Pathfinder down the line, huh? Would that be good? And just let them know what they mean to us. For 2,000 years, the church has handed off the church to the next group. And now it's our turn to hand it off. And they're the ones. And so that's part of the next thing. So I hope that you'll come and just bless them today. And we're going to do one other thing, just to let you know right now, some of you have had something tough going on in your life, and we're going to give you a chance to come forward, and we'll have prayer right here in the front. So if you know something's going on, whether I know about it or not, I know some of you, but if there's a sickness, or there's a death, or there's financial, or whatever it is, and you would like to have special prayer, we're going to invite the elders to come and invite you to have a chance to pray at the end of the sermon. We're in a series on all or nothing. And many of the all verses as we can bring up in a few weeks here, between now and graduation. And the verse for today in almost every poll is taken as one of the top two or three verses in the Bible. John 3:16 and Romans 8:28. Anybody know? All things work together for good. For them who love God. Amen? You need that today, Carlos? Amen. Carlos lost his mother last week. Funerals next weekend? Not easy. And others of you have stuff that's going on. But it says all things will work together for good. Is it really true? All things will work together for good. What about 9/11? Is that part of all things? What about the guy for the Boston Red Sox who let the ball go through his legs in the last out of the World Series? Never had the chance to do it over again. Never has a chance to make up for it. All things. What about the guy who missed his field goal at the end of the Super Bowl? What about the Malaysian Airlines down at the bottom of the ocean? What does this verse mean about them? All things work together for good. The bottom of the ocean. What about the girl that broke up with me 50 years ago? What about the time I dropped a football touchdown pass at the end of the game in front of the whole school and my team lost? How did God make good out of that? What about the time my hairpiece blew off during the funeral outdoors? How does God make good out of all these things? I put the cartoon up. Can you put that cartoon up again about this? This is an old story. It's been around, 30, 40 years at least. Can you just go back to the cartoon? I think it's there. You just had it. There we go. And it's a famous story. The man is turning it in for insurance. There are different versions of it. And he says, I was working in an 80-foot building, and I had a few bricks still at the top, so I got the idea. I'll put them in a bucket. I'll tie this rope through a pulley. So he went to untie the rope to lower the bricks. Forgot that the bricks were 300 pounds, and he was 150 pounds, and he began to fly. Did not have the presence of mind to let go of the rope. Met the bricks halfway up. Fractured his skull. He went on up, got clear to the top, jammed his fingers in the pulley. The bucket hit the ground. That spilled over. Some of the bricks came out. Now the bricks are lighter than him. Now the bricks come up and he comes back down. He meet each other halfway, breaks both ankles on the way down. Gets down to the bottom, crashes into the bottom, breaks three ribs. Now in the trauma of that, he loses his mind and lets go of the rope. And the bucket lands on his head. And Jesus says, all things work together for good. And you want to say, what are you talking about? Is it true that all things work together for good? We have a theology. We want to keep God all sovereign and all powerful. Therefore, whatever happens must be something that God did. Or if you don't like that, you'll say something like this that I hear all the time. God's powerful enough, he could stop it if he wanted to. And he doesn't stop it, therefore, it's the same difference, he may as well as if he did it. Is God up in heaven orchestrating all things that happen everywhere? And everything really is credit to God. And so does God do all the evil so that then he can make all the good come out of it? It's his evil in the first place. And he works it out. Pastor Sarah, are you going to come help me? So let's just imagine. This is the Holy Trinity, all right? Whatever that tells you about God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Sitting in meetings. And have a little meetings. Okay, are you watching? So let's decide about this one. What do you think? How has she been? Good? Pretty good most of the time?
I guess. She's all right.
What should we give her?
Probably 5.
Okay. You've been good.
She's a little bit better than that one.
Better?
A little bit.
How about these guys in the back?
Downward.
No hair for this one.
Yeah.
All three of them, no hair.
That's a good plan.
Would that be fair?
That's fair. You too. Oh, wait. What?
What about this one?
She can have hair.
Cancer? How about cancer?
Cancer, she could probably handle that.
Car accident? What do you think? Car accident?
Yeah, one or two.
House burned down?
Insurance.
Presence of mind to get insurance.
Thank you. Is that what God in heaven is doing? God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are gathered together every day. And there's thousands and billions of cases he has to add up every day. And he decides, your goodness, can you handle this or not? And he decides whether to give suffering or blessing or some evil. And that is by far the dominant view of God. Is that God is everywhere doing these things. My kids were watching one of the Oceans movies. And I really didn't know what was going on. So I went to the internet and read the story. And in this Oceans movie, somehow they were mad at the casino owner there in Las Vegas, Terry Benedict. And so they borrowed a lot of money from him. They promised to bring back a huge amount of money. At the end of the movie, they have the money. But instead of giving it back to him, they give it to Oprah for a school in Africa. And they rip him off for $72 million. On the other hand, there's one guy that's been kind of getting the raw end the whole movie long. And at the end, they decide to make it up to him. They give him a coin. They said, try that machine. And they've got it rigged. He puts the coin in, and out comes $11 million. Is God really like Brad Pitt and George Clooney? And just going around and deciding to bless this person and mess up this person. And God is the one deciding all day long what is going on. And whenever he does evil, then he works it out to make good come out of it. Is that okay? Did you hear about back when the cars were first coming out? And they had this farmer was out by his farm. And these old cars, these new cars a long time ago, were not very reliable. They would come and go in the mud puddle in his little dirt road. And he would have to stop plowing, come over with the horses, and pull the horse and pull the car out. All day long, $50 every time he pulled the car out. And someone said, how are you getting all your farming done when you're always pulling a car out of the mud hole? Are you doing your farming at night? And the guy says, no, I don't have time at night. At night is when I'm pouring the water into the mud hole. Is that what God is doing? Is making the mud hole and then pulling people out? You go to the dental office, almost every dentist I've ever gone to, they got a jar of cookies on the front counter. They're drumming up business, right? Here's cookies, and they get it, and then they have to go to the dentist. So God gives you the suffering. God works it, and then he works everything out for good. Is that really what God is doing? I collect these stories. I'm going to give you several of them quickly that I've collected over many years. These are public stories. I could give you 50 more. Dan Jansen, world-class skater, speed skater. He is number one from Wisconsin. He goes to the Olympics. He is number one, the world record holder. 500 meters. You got 30 seconds to show you're the best in the world. And he slips and you're out. You have to wait 4 years before you have a chance again. He stays in the game. He is still number one. He's still the world record holder. And he goes and he slips again. And his wife is standing by the rink holding her baby. And I watched as she mouthed the words. It's in the paper the next day. How could God be so cruel? It's God. It's God. Are you kidding? It's God who decides these kinds of things. The Allison family. I don't know if you've heard of this family. Famous family in car racing. You have the next picture. This family has had more people die. Uncle died. One of these two boys died in a car crash. The third one, Davy Allison, was flying over Indianapolis 500 in his helicopter and got somehow something happened, and he crashed. Three or four at least Allisons in his family. And the owner of all the racing stood at the funeral and said, God has asked a lot of the Allison family. I said, God, God. I've told this one 1,000 times. Magic Johnson in the newspaper says, God knew what he was doing when he gave me HIV. Because he knew I had the personality to handle it. Jackie Robinson, first black baseball player, maybe one of the greatest athletes, UCLA, broad jump, blind, he's an incredible athlete. And he gets old, he's blind, he's filled with diabetes, problem with his kids everywhere. And I watched Howard Cosell interview him and he said, why do you think all this has happened to you? He said, I think it was God knew that I could handle it. I was in Chicago where we had terrible blizzards and storms. And I watched when a newscaster, the weatherman, said on national television, looked up at there and God and said, what did we do to you? Blaming God for the blizzard that we just had. Last month, my boy's dean from high school in Singapore passed away. Can you go back one? Go back. Fred Lee, great history teacher. Our boy's dean, we all revere him, 50 years later, died last month. I was there when his wife, 28 years old, got an Asian bug of some kind, rare bug, and she was unconscious. They decided to fly her back. I was at the airport, watched her in a gurney put on the plane to go back to America, two little kids, and she died. And in the obituary, in the eulogy last month, the pastor told the story that somebody said to him, the young man with two little kids and your wife just died, God did this to teach you a lesson. You need to learn whatever that lesson was. Never got over it. Never really got his faith back for the next 50 years. At the funeral, Jim Londis, wonderful friend of mine, did the funeral. Told a story. He said, I had somebody. She heard a thump upstairs, went upstairs. Here was her husband, dead of a stroke, 38 years old, three little kids. And somebody told her, God did this to teach you some kind of lesson. Learn the lesson. She comes and he screams at the pastor, am I so stupid that God has to kill my husband for me to learn a lesson? Where do we get this picture of God? That God is sitting in heaven doing these things to help us learn. And this week, from Sports Illustrated, long story about a football player named Nick Bonacotti. If you're a football fan, you'll know this name. Played for the Patriots, played for Miami Dolphins, was part of the 1972 team that went 17-0, never lost a game. Middle linebacker, captain of the team, in the Hall of Fame today. Had two sons who both played football. They're at a dinner when they get the phone call, your son's had an accident. And the doctor gets on the line and he said, your son Mark has had an accident in a football game and he is paralyzed and he will never walk again. And Sports Illustrated this week told a story. The wife came out. They're divorced now, remarried. The wife came out around and here he was in the hallway, Hall of Fame football player, sobbing on the floor. And he said, God is punishing me. God is punishing me for what he did to my son. And she had to tap him on the shoulder and said, God is not like that. God is not like that. So let's just put some anchor points down today as we wrestle with this thing. What does it mean? And number one, it means this: God does not do evil so that he can work everything out for good. It is Satan who causes all of evil. God is not sitting up in heaven with Jesus and the Holy Spirit deciding all day long who to bless and who to mess with. He is not that. That is Satan who does that. When we believe that God has given free choice in the universe, God has given free choice in general, not in the specific cases. When I give my sons free choice, I don't sit there and decide everything that they do. I say, okay, here's the car. You can drive it wherever you want to go. They study as hard as they want to study. They date the girls that they want to study. I have given them freedom. The specific details, they choose themselves. And God has given us a degree of freedom in the world. And evil comes up, not because God says, I think it'll be you. I think it'll be you. No, God is not like that. And number two, the difference between those who are blessed and those who suffer is not in the heart of God. The Bible is crystal clear. God loves all. Jesus died for all. We said last week, Jesus says, I draw all men unto me. Jesus, Bible says, God pours out the sun and the rain on everybody. Jesus said in John 5, my Father is always working and I am always working. There was never any differential with God. He doesn't pick the winners and the losers. God is just God of love and goodness all the time. The difference between those who were healed and those who were not healed is never in the heart of God. It's in how far science has gone in helping people get well. City of Hope and Loma Linda, they start 30 years ago with some disease that has nobody getting well. And then they begin to work and they begin to study and they pray and God gives them wisdom and they do research and they develop protocols. And 30 years later, 80 or 90% are healed. But some of the diseases they haven't gotten to yet. But it's never in the heart of God. Probably the most famous story about this whole subject is the story, I first read it in a book by Rick Rice on the openness of God. He talked about a piece of marble. This sculptor, a world-class sculptor, had his chance. A lifetime piece of marble. No one would ever get this chance again. He begins to carve. One night, vandal comes in with a knife and scratches all across the face. Everyone comes in the morning, oh no, it's destroyed, it's spoiled, never replace it. The artist comes in and he sits in a chair and he just looks at it for every day for a week. And the second week he takes up the tools and begins to work again. And they say that when he was done, he took that scar and he somehow metamorphosed the picture into something that was fantastic. And if you looked at it, you would feel like that was a part of the plan all along. And that's what we believe about God. God is not the one who makes the scratch. He is not the one. That is a Satan who is the vandal. But God is the one who is immensely creative. He can take any evil that God, that Satan comes up with, and God can eventually make good come out of it. And when you look back, you'll say, wow, that's probably what should have happened all along. And Joseph, who was sold into slavery and ends up in jail, and then God works out a miracle for him to be a palace and governor and saving the world from hunger. And he tells his brother, it was all part of God's plan. It was not God's plan for him to go to slavery and to be in jail. That is not God's plan. But when it happens, God is immensely resourceful and he can redeem it and he can make all things work together for good. Amen? So God is able to do. Number two, is God able to make all things work together? All things? And we would say God is able. Amen? Daniel 3, the three young men said to the king, we do not know if God will save us or not, but we do know our God is able to rescue us from your hand. We know that. Can you imagine? God just loves this. God waits until the last minute. Those guys are flying through the air and they're flying into a fiery furnace. They're not going to die. They know they're going to die. God's not going to save them. This is it. They know they are 1 second from being burned to death. And they hit the floor, and that instant, Jesus is there, and he makes it work. Jonah is down in the belly of a whale. Doesn't get any much worse than that. He is done. When all of a sudden, he is spread out onto dry land. And God makes all things work out for good. This is who God is and what he loves doing. Two men are sitting in jail, and their feet are in chains. In the midnight, they're singing songs somehow. And all of a sudden, there's an earthquake, and everything is broken loose. And they end up giving Bible studies to the jailer, and they baptize the whole family. And God makes good come out of something that was terrible. This is what God is able to do. I was in La Sierra, very bad day in my life, when they came to me and they said, Pastor Dan, the electrical system is no good, and you're going to have to raise $90,000. Not to make the church better, not to make anything more beautiful or get more people to come, just to fix the electrical panel. I went home to Hilda and said, where do you want to go? I am done with this. Anyway, I began to raise money. We had dinners and I don't know what all. Raised maybe $25,000, $70,000 to go. When another guy showed up at church and he said, could I just check that out? Anyway, he worked it out for $13,000. And we had enough money left over to build two kitchens in our church. Amen? Wow. It was at Seleucia University in the middle of the desert or 100 miles from the Kalahari Desert. Who put it there? But Ellen White told them to put it there. So they've been there for 100 years. But once in a while, they run out of water. And not very long ago, before I was there, they had run out of water with 2,000 students. You have to have water. And they called everyone to church because they were going to go home that night if they didn't get rain right now. Dam was empty. And they prayed. They told me, Pastor Dan, everybody knows that story. And while they were praying, they heard the thunder and they came outside and the rain poured and filled up a dam and the school stayed open. And God waits to these last minutes when you think it's over, and then he does this little, all things work together for good. I thought of my friend Jim Torres. Jim Torres' brother was the pastor here, Rudy Torres. The two other brothers do this bakery together. Their father was a baker from New Mexico and then in Riverside, and they have this Food for Life. You can see it when you go by on the freeway. But 30 years ago, they were in trouble, and Jim told me, he called me again this morning to go over the story with me again from Maryland. And he said, told me the story years ago. There was a day when they owed $238,000 on their lease, and he could not pay it. Had no way of paying it. A couple days to go. He had 20 acres out in Temecula that he was willing to sell to anybody. He's out there driving around trying to think, where could I sell this? There was no place he could find to sell this land and get some money. In the middle of out there and all the wine bushes and whatever else, he sees a guy who was selling flowers on the street corner. He said, there's no reason for him to be there. He's just selling flowers. He said, I'll get some, my wife some flowers. He stops there. Another guy is there, lost in Temecula, trying to find his way, asking for directions. Two guys are there. How are you doing? How are you doing? Finds out the guy is the real estate agent, and he is the real estate agent over the man who is his landowner who has all his properties. And the next morning, the landowner calls and he says, I hear you have some land down in Temecula. If you'll give me a lien on that property and give me $50,000, you sell that land, you bring me $100,000, I'll write off $88,000. If you don't sell, the land's mine, and you still owe me the $100,000. He says, I'll take the deal. Signed it. He did have $50,000. And one last payroll check. Handed him the $50,000. Sold the land. Gave him $100,000. The guy reduced the rent on the building from whatever it was down $4,000. And that business has gone straight up. Ezekiel 4:9 bread. Many of you know about it. It has gone straight up. They give away palletfuls. I've been in the lobby right now. There are thousands and hundreds of thousands of Bibles and Steps to Christ that they give out every year from the prophets from that company. God blesses them, and they have given me hundreds of thousands of dollars for projects for churches and schools, and a chunk of the two churches that are in Pastor Ed's churches out there would come from that bakery. All because he stopped at a flower place and met a guy who happened to know a guy who might help him out. Amen? When you are drowning and you think there's no other way. And then there's one verse that comes. That's why it's one of the favorite top three of our verses in the Bible. All things work together for good for those who love God and who are called. The school that we help in Thailand, great story. My father was a part of that school, but my main guy was a guy named John Dibdaw, president of Walla Walla, old professor, now is retired. Great, great man. Great missionary in Thailand. And they got this land. 37 farmers sold them this land. Ralph and I have done a lot with that school. Once they had the land, they had no money for anybody to come out and bulldoze the roads, bulldoze the place for the buildings, for the houses. There was nobody. They had no money. He's driving back to Chiang Mai, and somebody bangs into him with a truck. He gets out of the car. He looks, and the truck has the name of the government on it and a bulldozer on the truck behind it. And he says, in Thai, spoke Thai beautiful, "I'll fix my car myself if you'll give us 4 days with your government bulldozer. We'll pay the driver. You just give us your bulldozer." Made the deal. Cost them $100 to fix the car. And they got 4 days of a government bulldozer. Bulldozed every road and bulldozed all the places for the buildings where the school is today. 50 years later. Amen? And God has a way with whatever is going on in your life. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. It did not come from God. But it seems to be what you've got. And God says, "Give me a chance to see what I can do with that." And God does. All things work together for good. He has all different kinds of ways he does it. Do you remember the girl in Vietnam? Our helicopter drops napalm on her. She rips off her clothes because she's burning and she runs naked down the road. What good can come out of that, God? She has many, 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 many surgeries to heal her from the burns. She ends up over in Canada. She becomes a Christian. She meets the man who flew the helicopter, who dropped the napalm. He's a Christian, and she forgives him. He's a pastor today. And she's gone all over the road, and I've listened to her on NPR, and she gives a testimony for the power of forgiveness that Jesus does. And Jesus takes a horrible thing that the whole world has seen, that picture, and makes something fantastic out of it. God didn't cause it in order for that to happen, but he makes good come out of it. And he makes the marble sculpture. Now the last hard question. What about those that he doesn't seem to do any good for? What about the 6 million Jews? What about the little boy in the picture and the refugee in Syria, Greece? What about Somalia? What about Haiti? What about Rwanda? What about? There's plenty. What about my father? Gets hit by a truck. There's no time for good to come out of that. And what are we going to say? That our theology says, when Jesus says all things will work together for good, it does not always mean here. There will be a day when God is going to make it up to my father and to my mother. It was 15 years last week. And he will make it up to everybody someday. In the same way that he did it for Jesus, who was lying there in a grave, it looks like it is over. These people put their life with Jesus. They followed him everywhere. He was their last hope. And he's hanging on a cross, and they put him in a grave, and they put a stone, and it's over, and they go home. When all of a sudden, there's a little twitch, and a little electricity begins to flow inside the mind of Jesus. And all of a sudden, his eyes open and he becomes awake. And somebody rolls the stone away and Jesus walks out. He can make good come out of anything. And because of that, we believe someday my father will rise. And someday he will be in heaven. And someday he will meet the man that ran over him. And someday God will make good out of that when he and that young man reconcile and do 1,000 years together. God will make good come out of everything. Amen? Someday. Someday. I cannot guarantee that everyone will make out the 11 million like that guy at the end of the movie. But someday, Someone writing about this chapter wrote this headline. He said, God always writes the last chapter. The novels are able to do that. They have to make it up. They have the book going one direction, then all of a sudden the last page, everything is worked out. Because they can make it up and they can have all of a sudden a solution. Because they're writing make-believe. And David Copperfield can do magical things, but it's all make-believe. It's not real. Our God is able to take it and do it for real. And he can make good come out of it for real. It's not novels. It's not David Copperfield. I had fun listening to an interview with Howie Mandel one time. And he was saying he was on an airplane. And the guy sitting next to him was reading a novel, and every page he was laughing. But he would never tell you to Howie what he was laughing about. And he got tired of that. Every page laughing and laughing and never explaining anything. The guy went to the bathroom. Howie grabbed the book and he ripped out the last page of the book. So that guy would never know how the book came out. And the rest of the world does not know how the book is going to come out. But you and I know how the book is going to come out. And someday, all things are going to work together for good. Amen? Someday, we're going to go to heaven and all things will work out for good. For those who love God and those who have been called to God. He always will turn it around. Finally, Psalm 23 will be true. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But someday, surely, what? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and all things will be made good. Amen. I'd like to invite you today to come. If you know that in your life you have some place that you like wish God would make good, that there's something that's not very good right now or has been recently, and you would love to have a special prayer, I invite you to come. Come. I invite you to Carlos, come. Your family can come. Are there others of you that say, boy, I wish I could come. I could use some prayer today for that. Invite my fellow elders to come and gather around. But if you know there's something in your life, you say, boy, God, Pastor Dan, I would like God to work something out good for me. Would you come and just gather here in front? You don't have to tell us what it is. You can tell us afterwards if you want. But the pastors and I will gather around you and lay hands on you today. And we will pray that God will make all things good come out for you. Amen. Invite the elders to come. Can the elders just gather around? Let's see, come right wherever you can. Get close to these people. If you can't, we can't reach you, we'll touch the front and it goes all the way back to the rest of you. May God bless you all. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, I know most of these people here. I know some of their stories. I don't know all. Carlos texted me last Friday night. He was there in the death watch for his mother, 94 years old. She didn't make it through that night, and the funeral is this week. We pray a blessing upon them, and that someday, all will be made right, and all will be made good again. They'll have her back. You know, there's a few here that are fighting cancer. We don't have to call them out, but you know who they are, and they know who they are, Father, and we pray that you will bless them. As they go to hospitals and as they go to treatment and as they go through therapy, we pray that you will use those therapies and those protocols. Bless the medical people. They're smart people. We thank you that you have blessed them. But we pray for your power to be for them and make good come to them. If there are people who need some money, people who want to go to Brazil, people have needs in their loan, their house, the rent. They have a need. Their car is not working. They need something, Father. Bless them financially. Those who have relational needs, and they would like you to do something for them, Father. They know it doesn't come from you. We know that. We proclaim that today. But you have promised us all things will work together for good. We claim that promise for each person standing here today. All who listen to this someday, somewhere, wherever they are, we claim this promise that now, someday, or in the resurrection morning, you will make all things good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.